Welcome to the eighth study of The World's Conversion in this Choose This Day Bible study series. There are diverse theories of end time scenarios that come from the pulpits of many of our churches regarding Christ's coming. One prevailing theory is that Christ will come, the world will be converted, and there will be 1,000 years or a millennium of peace on this earth. But can this be supported by the scripture? We're going to be able to see from the Bible that there are some things that are contrary to those thoughts in the scripture regarding the end of time. Our first scripture is in Romans 9, but if you'd like to follow along in the notes, please go to the revelationwithdaniel.com website, the link of which is in the description of this video below. So in Romans 9, verse 27, Isaiah also cried concerning Israel, though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, a remnant, that is a small part of the original, shall be saved. For he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because a short work will the Lord make upon the earth. So now in Matthew chapter 22, we know that not everybody is going to be accepted, because the Bible teaches in 22 verse 14 of Matthew, many are called, but few are chosen. See, Revelation chapter 17 describes toward the end of that chapter that the reason why there are few chosen is because there are few that are faithful. My desire, because of my love for God and my love for His Word and the love for His Son, is that I want to be faithful to Him. He's been faithful to me. I want to be faithful to Him, and I invite you to do the same. So in Matthew 24, an end time chapter, notice what it says in verses 37 through 43. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. In other words, it'll be similar at the time of the end when Christ comes as it was in the days of Noah. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and given in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark. And those that were not with Noah knew not until the flood came, and the flood took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, one shall be taken and the other left. Two men shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Now, there are some thoughts about the verses we just read that we will cover in other presentations in the future. But the idea is that we do not know when the Lord Jesus will come. It will be like it was in the days of Noah. And by the way, Jesus referred to the flood as though it was a real event, not something metaphorical or an analogy. And so we can understand from the Bible that the story of Noah is something that we ought to understand so as to be able to understand what it will be like at the end of time. Study the Bible. Genesis, the early chapters, will help us understand so much about the principles of how God works. 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 through 7 says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. There will be traitors, people that are heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. From such turn away, for of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth." And so if you look at the news today, it looks like that is happening right now all over the world. People with so many desires contrary to God's holy will, that it's right there mentioned, right before the coming of the Lord, it will be just as it is. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 1 through 6 talks about another group of people. "Of the times and of the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you, because there will be people that will know when Christ will be coming. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, Then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, in other words, a woman who's about to give birth, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you as a thief. In other words, you will know when the coming of the Lord is nigh. You are all children of the light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. So God is not willing that we should be ignorant of the times in which His Son will come. Jesus Christ will come in the clouds of heaven. The Bible says that very clearly. There will be signs, there will be prophecies, there will be things that will be revealed that will help us to know that Christ is even at the doors. Well, see, the Lord wants you, wants me, wants everybody to hear the message of the soon coming of Christ, because the Lord, according to 2 Peter 3, verses 9 and 10, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but He is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So Christ wants us to be saved. He wants us to come to repentance. He wants us to understand the love, the mercy, the care, and the long-suffering that He has for us. So the Lord has told us at the very end of the book of Revelation, near the end, Revelation 16, 15, "Behold, I come as a thief, and blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame." So in the midst of the trials of Revelation chapter 16, he's saying there's a blessing to those that keep their garments. There's a whole group of people that are not ready for Christ's coming. And so it's not a world conversion. It's not a time of peace and safety. It is a time where only a few, those that are faithful, those that love God more than life itself, those are the ones that have committed themselves to His word that will be ready as the remnant prepared for Christ's coming so that we can be taken with Him up into heaven. So 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 6 through 10 says, "Seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you, and you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels. It will be in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ." So according to these verses, we are supposed to know God and we are supposed to obey the gospel. Who? Those people that obey not the gospel and that know not God shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power, when He shall come to be glorified in His saints and be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. So according to the Bible, it will be that God will send His Son, and it will be a glorious revelation of His coming. But those that are not ready to receive Christ in the clouds of heaven will be destroyed, the Bible says. It will not be everybody converted and everybody's happy. It is a serious time before us, and we must prepare. God is willing to prepare you if you're willing to be prepared. So Revelation 19:11 actually speaks about Christ's coming. It says, "I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war." So when Christ comes on a white horse with a name Faithful and True, it will be just before that 1,000 years, but it will not be a time on this earth where everybody's happy and there's unification and everybody's in peace. What the Bible describes is actually in Revelation chapter 20. You can read it for yourself. We'll go over it in the future. Notice what it says in Revelation 20, verse 3. "The angel cast him," which is the serpent or the devil, "into the bottomless pit. And the angel shut him up and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more until those 1,000 years shall be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season." If you continue reading in that chapter, you will realize that the saints, those that love the Lord, are not here on the earth. In fact, they are up in heaven for those 1,000 years. Read it for yourself, Revelation chapter 20. Now, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 7 and 8 describes that the mystery of iniquity right now, during the time that Paul was writing, doth already work. Only he who now withholds or lets will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. So right before the coming of the Lord, as is described in that scripture, we see that the wicked, or the Antichrist power, the mystery of iniquity, will be working and alive and well, doing that which is contrary to God's desires, and he, the wicked, or the Antichrist power, will be destroyed by the brightness of Christ's coming. We don't want to be part of the Antichrist power. We want to be part of the Jesus Christ power. So let's totally surrender to God by picking up his word, praying, and asking God to bless us as we continue to learn from him. So in Matthew chapter 13, verses 29 through 30, it actually describes in a parable a scenario where the people that have been working in a field are asking, shall we tear up these tares? Because they're just going to destroy the fruit that's growing. And Jesus answered, he said, no. Lest while you gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them. But gather the wheat into my barn. So according to this scripture, the angels will be sent to gather the tares first. They will be bundled together to be burned, and then the Lord will gather the wheat into his barn. This is what the Bible teaches. So we're not going to have everybody happy here on this earth. No, not at all. It will be very treacherous for those that are faithful, but we will have angels and God himself that will guide us through those trials and troublous times. Now, so the parable is explained later in Matthew 13. It actually says in verses 39 through 43, Jesus is explaining, the enemy that sowed them, or the tares, is the devil. The harvest referred to earlier is the end of the world. And the reapers, they are the angels. And therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire. So shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear? Let him hear. So, the Bible is so clear that Jesus was teaching at the end of time in that parable in Matthew 13. Please read it for yourself, get to know it well, and have Christ explain it for you as it's right in that same chapter. The prophecy or parable and the explanation. Let's take up the word and study for ourselves so that we can be able to understand it better than any other thing on the face of this earth. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verses 13 through 14 says, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. In other words, things are not going to get better. Deceiving and being deceived. That's part of the trick of the enemy, is deception. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. So if we've learned from God's holy word, we've learned from God himself. So we can take courage that as we study God's word, we have him as our teacher, and we need not be ashamed, neither must we be deceived. So I am very grateful that we can continue to study the fundamental principles. The one which we're studying now is number 8, and it is that the doctrine of the world's conversion and a temporal millennium is a fable of these last days, calculated to lull men into a state of carnal security and cause them to be overtaken by the great day of the Lord as by a thief in the night, that the second coming of Christ is to precede, not follow, the millennium. For until the Lord appears, the papal power, with all its abominations, is to continue. The wheat and the tares grow together, and evil men and seducers wax worse and worse, as the word of God declares. And so our fundamental principle for today is that we can understand that before the 1,000 years, it will be troublesome, but we can be blessed and be in heaven for those 1,000 years as Revelation 20 describes. Thank you for continuing to study with Revelation with Daniel.